All right, turn with me, if you will, to 1 Corinthians chapter 9. The title of my subject this morning is To Plow in Hope. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Am I not an apostle? Am I not free? Have I not seen Jesus Christ our Lord? Are not ye my work in the Lord? If I be not an apostle unto others, yea, doubtless I am to you. For the seal of mine apostleship are ye and the Lord. Mine answer to them that do examine me is this: Have we not power to eat and to drink? Have we not power to lead about a sister, a wife, as well as other apostles, and as the brethren of the Lord and Cephas? Or I only and Barnabas, have not we power to forbear working? Who goeth a warfare any time at his own charges? Who planteth a vineyard and eateth not of the fruit thereof? Or who feedeth a flock and eateth not of the milk of the flock? Say I these things as a man, or saith not the law the same also? For it is written in the law of Moses that thou shalt not muzzle the mouth of the ox that treadeth out the corn. Doth God take care for oxen? Or saith he it altogether for our sakes? For our sakes, no doubt, this is written, that he that ploweth should plow in hope, and he that thresheth in hope should be partaker of his hope. If we have sown unto you spiritual things, it is a great thing if we shall reap your carnal things. If others be partakers of this power over you, are not we rather? Nevertheless, we have not used this power, but suffer all things, lest we should hinder the gospel of Christ. Do you not know that they which minister about holy things live of the things of the temple? And they which wait at the altar are partakers with the altar. Even so hath the Lord ordained that they which preach the gospel should live of the gospel. But I have used none of these things, neither have I written these things, that it should be so done unto me. For it were better for me to die than that any man should make my glory in void. For though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me. Yea, woe is it unto me, if I preach not the gospel. For if I do this thing willingly, I have a reward. But if against my will, a dispensation of the gospel is committed unto me. What is my reward then? Verily that, when I preach the gospel, I may make the gospel of Christ without charge, that I abuse not my power in the gospel. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. And unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews, and to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law, and to them that are without law, as without law, being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. To the weak became I as weak, that I might gain the weak. I am made all things to all men, that I might by all means save some. What an attitude, huh? And this for I do for the gospel's sake, that I might be partaker thereof with you. Know ye not that they which run in a race run all, but one receiveth the prize? So run that ye may obtain. And every man that striveth for the mastery is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible. I therefore so run, not as uncertainly, So fight I not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Plow and hope. You know, for me, since I was a kid, probably 11, 12, 13 years old, I'd always liked working in the yard. I had pretty much a lawn mowing business and trimmed people's bushes. I planted gardens out in this little area that I had. It probably wasn't no bigger than this area here. I grew corn, tomatoes. I used to sell my tomatoes. I got them about that big. I got $1 a piece over 30-something years ago for my tomatoes. So, and I learned a lot, you know, when we're working in the thing and we're digging, you know, back in them days it wasn't spiritual for me, but I was learning lessons that I see apply in my life now. Oh, you know, when you're planting things, seeds and the little ones that they've already started for you. You know, you're hoping for that end. You're hoping for the big tomato or a ear of corn or whatever it is that you're putting your effort into. That's the hope. We know it's going to happen, but we have to do things to make sure that it happens. Fertilizing, keeping the weeds out, you know, and all those have spiritual meanings too, to me in my life now. At a certain time of the year, you know, my favorite thing now is cactuses. I love cactuses. And a certain time of the year, patiently waiting, and sometimes they don't even bloom every year. Some cactuses bloom, you know, every 10 years or 20 years, and some of them 50 and 100 years, only once. But for me, I like awaiting the blooms of my cacti and succulents. And again, been one of my favorites. And I've never been good at growing roses, but we know that they all smell very delightful. They have different colors. They have different smells. And we've all smelled the orange blossoms in the spring in Florida and the jasmine smell as it fills the air. On the third day, God made dry land, earth. And God said, let the earth bring forth tender grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. Let's turn over there to Genesis chapter 1, verses 9 through 13. Genesis 1, verses 9 through 13. And God said, let the waters under the heaven be gathered together unto one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters called he seas. And God saw that it was good. And God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb yielding seed, and the fruit tree yielding fruit after his kind, whose seed is in itself upon the earth. And it was so. And the earth brought forth grass and herb yielding seed after his kind, and the tree yielding fruit whose seed was in itself after his kind. And God saw that it was good. And the evening and the morning were the third day. Now look over into chapter 2, verses 4, 5, and 15. Chapter 2, verses 4, 5, and 15. These are the generations of the heavens and of the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and every plant of the field before it was in the earth, and every herb of the field before it grew. For the Lord God had not caused it to rain upon the earth, and there was not a man to till the ground. Now over 15, and the Lord God took the man and put him into the garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. In verse 5 of chapter 2, it says there was not a man to till the ground. And this is what the word plow means from our title, to till. And this idea is nothing new. It signifies our service. And we can find it all the way back here in the beginning. This shows its importance in our spiritual walk, that labor, work, effort will have to be made to be a part of this great hope that God has offered to us. Adam was cursed to till the ground from whence he was taken until his death in Genesis 3:24. He was thrust out of the Garden of Eden and would now have to till his mind to keep the way to the tree of life. Pruning and trimming is fun work when we're in the garden, but digging and plowing and loosening up that hard ground so that nutrients and water can get to those roots takes much more strenuous effort, which would probably make it less enjoyable to do. Psalms 139:14. Psalms 139:14. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. How wonderfully made we are, as well as the whole creation. And when we consider the vastness of the earth and of the seas, and see the magnitude of his wisdom in just the plant and animal kingdom, we are all just amazed. And seeing God's handiwork puts us in our place herein as earthy. And if we think it is awesomely beautiful now, we can all imagine with no more curse the senses delighted by the smells and the visions of gladness will be breathtaking. Isaiah 66, verses 13 and 14. Isaiah 66, 13 and 14. As one whom his mother comforteth, so will I comfort you, and ye shall be comforted in Jerusalem. Speaking of the kingdom age. And when you see this, your heart shall rejoice, and your bones shall flourish like an herb, and the hand of the Lord shall be known toward his servants, and his indignation toward his enemies. And then Isaiah 65, verses 17 through 25, back a chapter. For behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former shall not be remembered, nor come into mind. But be ye glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem a rejoicing, and her people a joy. And I will rejoice in Jerusalem, and joy in my people. And the voice of weeping shall be no more heard in her, nor the voice of crying. There shall be no more thence an infant of days, nor an old man that hath not filled his days. For the child shall die an 100 years old, but the sinner, being 100 years old, shall be accursed. And they shall build houses and inhabit them, and they shall plant vineyards and eat the fruit of them. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For as the days of a tree are as the days of my people, and mine elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain, nor bring forth for trouble, for they are the seed of the blessed of the Lord, and their offspring with them. And it shall come to pass that before they call, I will answer, and while they are yet speaking, I will hear. The wolf and the lamb shall feed together, and the lion shall eat straw like the bullock, and dust shall be the serpent's meat. They shall not hurt nor destroy in all my holy mountain, saith the Lord. So there will still be service or work in the kingdom age, the seed of the blessed of Yahweh and their offspring with them, inhabiting in houses that they have built, and eating from the vineyards that they had planted, and God's elect shall long enjoy the work of their hands. Now again, we know that tilling, soil, plowing, hoeing, shoveling is hard work and is no fun, especially when if it's hot out, or if you've ever had to dig out roots or dig in clay, it's not easy. It's very physically demanding work. And we have heard many exhortations on plowing and sowing. In Luke 9:62 reads, Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. We don't drive our cars or ride our bikes looking backwards. We don't even walk looking backwards, because we would run off the road pretty quickly. So keeping focus on the goal that we set when we all put our hands on the plow is our duty. Just having faith that our car will continue to go in a straight line is not going to work. We have to do an action. Plow and hope. We all want to be in the kingdom, because if not, none of us would be here now. So now is the time to focus in on the tough spots on our character and fertilize it a little and water in some spirit word. Because some of the most prickliest cactuses have the most beautiful blooms. Roses, being one of the favorites, have tremendous thorns like that of cacti. But they will always find a way to prick you when you are working around them. We are careful around things that hurt us. So we ought to be the more careful with what can save us. Are we threshing out our chafe? Are we treading out our chafe? There is none good but God. So let our self-examinations and our self-evaluations first be honest and then sincere. God is not willing that any man should perish. But again, we know that he is not a respecter of persons, having more favor on one than another. He has made us a partaker of a great hope. And what is hope? To expect or confide or trust in. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 8 through 10. Thessalonians 5, 8 through 10. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and for an helmet the hope of salvation. For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. We can obtain this salvation to live together with Christ if we remain faithful to our calling. And we know the time must be near for the end of this Gentile age. Just in this past week, Austria and Australia have legalized same-sex marriages. And it seems no matter where you look nowadays, homosexuality is everywhere. Earthquake somewhere up in, I don't remember what state it was, up in the Northeast. And the news guy said it's like unspeakable to have an earthquake. I think it was like Rhode Island or Maine, somewhere up in there. So we have earthquakes in diverse places. Again, we talked about this morning of Jerusalem in the news. And we know that our President Trump is playing his role. It can't be long now. For me, the telltale sign is what Jesus says in Luke 18, verses 7 and 8. Luke 18, verses 7 and 8. And shall not God avenge his own elect, which cry day and night unto him, though he bear long with them? I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth? Strong says this for faith. The Greek 4102, pistis, persuasion, credence, conviction of religious truth or the truthfulness of God. Are we persuaded and convicted in the truth? This sadly has unfortunately happened before our very eyes. To see the truth in such a falling away and a disarray. We plow in hope, knowing the surety of God's promises will come. And the signs of the Lord's return are all about us. So we need to strengthen, again, our own convictions and make ourselves ready for this great appearing. Paul said back in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 11, that it is a great thing if we shall reap your or our carnal things, a cutting off of the flesh. And how hard is it to constantly battle this deceiver in ourselves? Flesh is weak, prone to sin. Familiar verses in Romans 7. Starting at verse 14. Romans 7, starting at 14. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For that which I do, I allow not. For what I would, that do I not. But what I hate, that do I. If then I do that which I would not, I consent unto the law that it is good. Now then it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would, I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. That's a damn it condemnation. Now if I do that, I would not, it is no more I that do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find then a law, the law of sin and death, that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who shall deliver me from the body of this death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh the law of sin. Who of us have ever said that about ourselves, O wretched man that I am? And considering all that Paul has done for the ecclesia, to consider that of himself. In comparison our lives to that of Paul's, the struggles that he went through, he gave up all for Christ to teach the truth, the gospel message, with boldness, no fear of man, or even nature. He pressed toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So therefore, let us be thus minded. When we think upon all the faithful followers, and most of them were put through tremendous trials and tribulations, and most kept the faith. They kept their faith because they had kept the joy that was set before them. There was a glad vision to behold. Proverbs 29:18. Proverbs 29:18, where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he. Turn over to Ezekiel, chapter 1, verse 1. Ezekiel 1, verse 1. Now it came to pass in the 30th year, in the fourth month, in the fifth day of the month, as I was among the captives by the river of Shabar, that the heavens were opened, and I saw visions of the Elohim. I looked down to 26 and 28, same chapter. And above the firmament that was over their heads was the likeness of a throne, as the appearance of a sapphire stone. And upon the likeness of the throne was the likeness as the appearance of a man above upon it. And I saw as the color of amber, and as the appearance of fire round about within it, from the appearance of his loins even upward, and from the appearance of his loins even downward. I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and it had brightness round about. As the appearance of the bow that is in the cloud in the day of rain, so was the appearance of the brightness round about. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. And when I saw it, I fell upon my face, and I heard a voice of one that spake. Ezekiel 47, verses 6 through 12. Ezekiel 47, 6 through 12. And he said unto me, Son of man, hast thou seen this? Then he brought me and caused me to return to the brink of the river. Now when I had returned, behold, at the bank of the river were very many trees on the one side and on the other. And then he said unto me, these waters issue out toward the east country and go down into the desert and go into the sea, which being brought forth into the sea, the water shall be healed. And it shall come to pass that everything that liveth, which moveth, whithersoever the river shall come, shall live. And there shall be a very great multitude of fish, because these waters shall come thither. For they shall be healed, and everything shall live whither the river cometh. And it shall come to pass that the fishers shall stand upon it from Engedi even unto Enigallium, and they shall be a place to spread forth nets. Their fish shall be according to their kinds, as the fish of the great sea, exceeding many. With the miry places thereof, and the marshes thereof, shall not be healed, they shall be given to salt. And by the river upon the bank thereof, on this side and on that side, shall grow all trees for meat, whose leaf shall not fade, neither shall the fruit thereof be consumed. It shall bring forth new fruit according to his months, because their waters they issued out of the sanctuary, and the fruit thereof shall be for meat, and the leaf thereof for medicine. And then one more in Daniel 10. Daniel 10, 4 through 12. And in the 24th day of the first month, I was by the side of the great river, which is the Hiddekel. And then I lifted up mine eyes and looked, and behold, a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold of Uphaz. His body also was like beryl, and his face as the appearance of lightning, and his eyes as lamps of fire, and his arms and his feet like in color to polished brass, and the voice of his words like the voice of a multitude. And I, Daniel, alone saw the vision, for the men that were with me saw not the vision, but a great quaking fell upon them, so that they fled to hide themselves. Therefore I was left alone and saw this great vision, and there remained no strength in me, for my comeliness was turned in me into corruption, and I retained no strength. Yet heard I the voice of his words, and when I heard the voice of his words, then was I in a deep sleep on my face, and my face toward the ground. And behold, a hand touched me, which set me up upon my knees and upon the palms of my hands. And he said unto me, O Daniel, a man greatly beloved, understand the words that I speak unto thee, and stand upright, for unto thee am I now sent. And when he had spoken this word unto me, I stood trembling. And then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that thou didst set thine heart to understand, and to chasten thyself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. And there's more visions in Habakkuk, Nahum, Obadiah, and we're not going to read all these. But we know nowadays we do not have visions, and we do not have dreams. because we have the Spirit Word in our hands. And we have this for our learning. And we too should be greatly humbled that we are chosen to know it. We know future events that will unfold. But could we even imagine what feelings that these people went through in these visions as they would fall to the ground in great reverence and awe of the mightiness of God and His angels? As they are even about us now, here, as we worship. Again, no visions for us now, but we can imagine some of the glorious things that we will be seeing and doing in the kingdom age, if so blessed with that immortal nature, teaching the gospel to the mortals left on earth, gardening, farming, as we mentioned earlier, maybe even fishing with some of the patriarchs and apostles, or shepherding and herding animals, kings and priests, speaking with Jesus, building the temple. But this is only for ones who plow in a straight line. We cannot stay on the straight and narrow if we have an ox pulling with a mule. And we learn this back in Deuteronomy 22, starting at verse 9. Deuteronomy 22, verses 9 through 11. Thou shalt not sow thy vineyard with diverse seeds, lest the fruit of thy seed which thou hast sown and the fruit of the vineyard be defiled. Thou shalt not plow with an ox and an ass together. Thou shalt not wear a garment of diverse sorts, as of woolen and linen together. The lessons are clear from the beginning, that God does not want His chosen mingling with outside influences. His truth is to remain pure. We are weak vessels already, and we do not need any extra weight to help pull us down. And don't think that you or I, we cannot be influenced by others or outside influences, because if you think this way, you may have already been affected. Submitting ourselves to His Word and hating the evil nature that is in us is a constant battle. 1 Corinthians 9, again, verse 27. To bring ourselves into subjection, we have to know the higher or spiritual laws that we fall under. Reading Scripture daily and eating the Word, as Ezekiel did, so we may know how to subject ourselves, and more importantly, to who we subject ourselves unto. How sweet are these precious words unto us, and if so, do we live by them? A great hope has been given unto us. 1 John 3, 1-3. Behold what manner of love the Father hath bestowed upon us, that we should be called the sons of God. Therefore the world knoweth us not, because it knew Him not. Beloved, now are we the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be. But we know that when He shall appear, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And every man that hath his hope in Him purifieth himself, even as He is pure. We shall be like Him, Jesus Christ, that died and has risen and is now on the right hand of God, making intercession for us. Strong 1793, intercession, to confer with, to entreat, or to deal with. Christ is our mediator. Mediator in Strong's 3316 is a go-between, an internunciator, or a reconciler. 1 Timothy 2, 5 and 6. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus, who gave Himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time. We have contact to and with our Heavenly Father through Jesus Christ. And not only contact, but favor hand and treatment, care and mercy, wisdom unto salvation through faith in Christ. But what we all need the most out of our relationship with them is the forgiveness of our sins and our sinful nature. 1 Timothy 1:15-17. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. Howbeit, for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Paul, we know, understood the need for the forgiveness of his sins, as he admits that he had persecuted the ecclesia, and a few verses up from where we just read, reads he was a blasphemer, a persecutor, and injurious to believers. Through the love of Christ and the grace of God, Paul would spend his life dedicated and committed to the teaching of the Gentiles, the one faith we can now have, the one truth, the one hope. He says, hold fast the form of sound words. Continue in them. We have to stay on guard to that which is contrary to sound doctrine. Paul warns in 2 Timothy 4:3-4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. The end of the Gentile age is coming to a close, for the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Plow in hope, reap your carnal things. He that threshes in hope should be partaker of his hope. In closing, I'll read Romans 15:4-13. Romans 15:4-13. And when they come to Jerusalem, they were received of the ecclesia and of the apostles and elders, and they declared all things that God had done with them. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisee, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, Men and brethren, you know how that a good while ago God made choice among us, that the Gentiles by my mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Spirit, even as he did unto us. And put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. Now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? But we believe. I was trying to figure out why that didn't seem right. I'm in Acts. Romans 15. Sorry about that. Romans 15:4-13. For whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. Now the God of patience and consolation grant you to be like-minded one toward another, according to Christ Jesus, that ye may with one mind and with one mouth glorify God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Wherefore receive you one another, as Christ also received us, to the glory of God. Now I say that Jesus Christ was a minister of the circumcision for the truth of God, to confirm the promises made unto the fathers, and that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy, as it is written, For this cause I will confess to thee among the Gentiles, and sing unto thy name. And again he saith, Rejoice, ye Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all ye Gentiles, and laud him, all ye people. And again Isaiah saith, There shall be a root of Jesse, and he that shall rise to reign over the Gentiles, in him shall the Gentiles trust. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace, in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able also to admonish one another. With that, we will now enter into our memorial portion. Stand and sing hymn number 153, By Christ Redeemed and Christ Restored, We Keep the Memory Adored.